Welcome to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop, where you'll find the unique, the bizarre, and sometimes the haunted. Feel free to look around, peruse the items, and never fear, there's nothing here that bites. Hard anyway. Hello there. Welcome back to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. I am your shopkeeper, Chris Baker, and today we're going to go back to a section of the shop we visited not too terribly long ago. If you'll follow me in this direction, you'll notice that we're going back to the area of the shop where we have many bugs and insects, arachnids on display. These are collections that, while benign in the real world, can become a horror when slipping past the veil of reality into the supernatural. And this particular collection over here of various spiders, various shapes, sizes, colors, distinctions, but as you'll notice, with each successive spider pinned and mounted to this display, they get larger and larger and larger. And one could often wonder just how large these spiders could have gotten if left to Darwin's evolution. And therein lies the essence of today's episode of Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. So let's pull out the kinetoscope and take a look at the new Shudder original, Infested. So Infested is an interesting movie. I watched, not this past weekend, but the weekend before. I thought I might use it as a bonus episode in last week's episodes of Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop, but I decided that I wanted to save it for this week because I wanted to be able to feature it on its own, because this is a movie that, you know, when I first heard it was coming out, and I thought, okay, it's going to be a low-budget spider creature feature horror film. It's going straight to streaming, so it's not going to be that great. I'll check it out. And then I saw a trailer for it, not really expecting much out of it, and I probably wasn't paying as close attention as I probably should have been in watching the trailer. And I thought, okay, just, you know, shitty CG spiders, whatever. I kind of blew it off. But then I sat down and really watched the trailer last weekend, and I'm like, okay, this might be a little bit better of a movie than I gave it credit for to begin with. And, you know, I was going to watch it anyway, but now I was going to watch it with a little more attention, because I initially thought this is just, you know, your typical cheap, low budget CG spiders. But in watching the trailer again and really paying a little more attention, I saw more attention to detail in the CG spiders. I saw that they were going to be using real spiders when possible. And I thought this may be a better movie than I was giving it credit for. And I have to say that it was definitely a better movie than I initially gave it credit for, because I'm terrified of spiders. Not to the point where I freeze and I'm petrified, but I hate spiders, and spiders scare the shit out of me. And we had a movie recently with Sting that had a giant spider. It was a great combination of puppetry and CG, and it really worked. I wished it was a little more scary than it was. I wish it had a few more spider scares than it had, but I still loved it. I still enjoyed Sting. I still thought it was a scary creature feature horror film. You had a series like American Horror Story Delicate that came out that gave us the promise of spiders and all the imagery and all of the promotional materials that came out gave us a lot of spider imagery, but they didn't pay it off in the series at all. So where I went from Sting to American Horror Story, it's kind of like a roller coaster. I hit that high with Sting, and then I hit a real spider low with American Horror Story Delicate. And I was hoping to ride another high because, like I said, I am the prime suspect. I am the, and in radio terms, the P1 listener. I am the person that you are marketing a scary spider movie to, because spiders already scare me. And And I'm going to be the person that finds a spider movie scary. And if I don't find a spider movie scary, there's something wrong with the movie. And that's what we got with Infested, is a movie that didn't have to worry about scaring me with spiders because it did it in spades. This was definitely a scary spider movie that did so many things right where other movies like it have gone so wrong. And I, you know, like I said, it was because of all those missteps from other spider movies with lots of big and small CG spiders. They just didn't have the care that I think was put into this movie. And I thought this worked on so many levels. From a scary spider movie, from a creature feature standpoint, it was really good. From a human standpoint, it had an interesting human story. It had interesting human relationships and complicated characters that no one ever really felt. I mean, you have this one character, Caleb, who kind of feels like your protagonist. You feel like he's going to be the hero that saves the day, but it's more complicated than that. And you have a lot of characters like that that either do or do not feel like they're going to be a hero in this, but they play against the type that you're kind of pigeonholing them in. And it also has a lot of social commentary, which I think horror movie, when it's done right, when it's done subtly, and it's done with some nuance, is perfect for sending a message. And I think Sebastian Vanacek, the director and one of the writers on this movie, Infested, I think he nailed it on all fronts. So without further ado, we are going to get into some spoiler territory. If you haven't checked out Infested on Shudder, it's a Shudder original and definitely worth it. If you're, you know, thinking about checking out Shudder, it's definitely worth it. At least check it out for a month because you're going to get the cool classics and you're going to get really cool new films. Like, this had a very limited run in theaters in the U.S. earlier this month. But, you know, for the most part, I never saw it playing anywhere. And this is a movie that you're only going to be able to see on Shudder. And it's definitely worth paying the few bucks that it costs to get Shudder for a month to check out a cool movie like this. So go check it out, Infested on Shudder. If you have watched the movie or you don't care about spoilers one way or the other, we are going to head directly into some spoiler territory. So the basic premise of this movie is this young man, he's about to turn 30, Caleb, and he has an affinity for rare exotic species. You know, he and his childhood friend had always thought of opening up a reptile store, and he, in his room, he shared this apartment with his sister. It was their mother who'd passed away. It was theirs, so he's attached to it that way. But he's got this room full of these exotic pets, and he brings home a spider that he got. And that first scene, you see where the spider comes from. It's from some desert somewhere. You're not really sure where exactly this spider is coming from, but these men that are hunting these spiders to sell for, who knows who's buying poisonous spiders like this, but the one guy, you know, they spray the poison down in there and he's looking at it and you're just waiting. And that's one of the things that they did so well with this, is building tension through patience. And that's one thing I haven't talked about a lot in recent movies. With some of the horror movies we've seen and we've talked about recently on this podcast, but that's one thing I've talked about with other movies, that they either do or do not have the patience to be an effective horror movie. And to be an effective horror movie, you have to show patience. And Sebastian Vanacek really has the patience. You know, he dwells on shots just a little bit longer than you think you're comfortable with. And that just builds tension. It gets you pushing forward to the screen, on the edge of your seat, and then bam, he hits you with the horror. And it was just a wonderful way to start off this movie. But Caleb gets one of these spiders, and then it gets loose, and he finds a egg sac. So you know this spider is laying eggs, and then the infestation starts. In looking at the translation of what this movie's called in other countries, in France, where this movie comes from, where Sebastian Vanacek comes from, it's called Vermin. In some of the Spanish-speaking countries, it's called Arachnid or Arachnids. There's one, I think, I don't know if it's Chile, Arachnids, the Plague. It's only in the US and the UK that they called it Infested. I think Vermin actually works better as a commentary on the things that Sebastian Vanacek is trying to say on a social level, and we'll talk about that briefly. But Infested really works. I mean, because this is an infestation movie that is the stuff of all of my worst nightmares. Being trapped in an apartment building where it is infested by spiders. But I found it interesting. I was, doing some research on this director because, and we'll talk about it later, he's got something really big coming up. So I wanted to know a little bit more about him and what he wanted to do and accomplish with this movie. But Sebastian Vanacek, I think this is his first feature-length film. I know he's done dozens of shorts. And he's done a lot in genre, but he's never done horror. This is actually his first horror movie, which is terribly impressive at how good the horror was in this. But he wanted to do something fun and intense and this like immersive experience for the audience. And I love that, you know, a director is really thinking of the audience first, not about what he wants to say, not about how he can do this, that, or the other thing. Wanting to make something that the audience is going to enjoy, I think that's something that I wish more directors paid attention to. But I also liked the social aspect of this because he wanted to do this movie as kind of a metaphor for suburbans. And in France, here in the U.S., we think of the suburbs. That's the posh place where people raise their families and it's idyllic and it's, you know, white picket fences and dogs barking and kids playing out in the front yard. In France, it's a whole different thing. The suburbs are more like the bad neighborhoods. It's where all the people that are poor and don't make a lot of money, that's where they go. And there's a bad reputation for people from the suburbs in places like France. You have a lot of immigrants and low-income people that live in the suburbs because that's where housing is more affordable. And you got, you know, a lot of immigrants coming here from other countries that don't have a lot of money and, you know, they settle in the suburbs. So there you get that bad reputation and that kind of xenophobic mentality of what people who aren't from the suburbs think of people who are from the suburbs in France. And they look at them as vermin. They look down on people like that. And so there's a correlation between the infestation of these spiders, which is almost kind of like a surrogate for some of these lesser fortunate people that are in the suburbs, and how people look down on spiders, much like, you know, people from the cities look down on the people from the suburbs in France. And it just really is interesting. It's not over the top. It doesn't beat you over the head with any sort of message. It just kind of, you know, you're watching this and you see the point of what they're trying to say without them coming out and spelling it out for you, which I like messages like that. And I thought it was kind of cool because Sebastian Vanacek said, you know, he came from the suburbs, so he knows that feeling. But this movie was even more than I expected it to be because I thought it was going to be kind of like just your regular arachnophobia type of spider infestation movie, where you do get a lot of like regular size spiders, but they do this thing where as these spiders keep breeding, and they breed at a rapid pace. I don't know if there was supposed to be something special about these spiders. I don't know if there had to be something special about these spiders, because as these spiders keep breeding, they keep adapting and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so by the end of this movie, you have these spiders of all different sizes, regular size spiders, regular size big spiders, and then horrifically big spiders. And I thought that was interesting. And I loved the explanation for it was just Darwin. You know, spiders adapt based on the predators in their area, and this is just some sort of like sped up version of that. There's no reason why, there's no explanation why, it just is. And yeah, their only excuse for or reasoning for why these spiders are behaving in this manner and getting to the sizes that they're getting is just Darwin. And I love the simplicity of that, because you don't need to go into great detail about all this. It just is. And I like a movie that, you know, some movies need to have certain things explained, other movies don't. And I think this is a situation where it didn't really need to be explained as to why these spiders are multiplying so rapidly or getting to the sizes that they're getting. It just is. And just the explanation of Darwin, oddly enough, really worked for me. On a fun level, because that's what this movie is. It's a horrific giant spider movie. It's a horrific regular size spider movie, but it's a fun movie. And it's fun horror in the sense that you're on the edge of your seat, and you're always, you know, I'm sitting there looking out of the corner of my eye to make sure there's no spiders crawling around me as I'm watching it. And it's that sort of horrific fun with a lot of scary scenes. And I didn't need some big grandiose convoluted explanation as to why things are going on the way they are. It just is. And I was okay with that. But you talk about tension, and that's one of the things I think Sebastian Vanacek did really well with this movie, is building up this slow burn. And I mean that not in the sense of the pace of the movie, but the slow progression. You get this spider, it's on the loose. Then there's a few more spiders. Then there's more spiders. You get a few visuals of these spiders, and then the spiders start attacking. And the gradual buildup for that, which didn't take long to get through, but it was an incremental buildup that I thought he did a fantastic job with, building the tension of knowing the spider's on the loose, knowing that the spider is multiplying, knowing that these spiders are starting to get bigger than the initial spider that we saw Caleb bring into this apartment building. There were so many scenes where somebody's poking around in something and looking in somewhere, or they've got their arm up and he's just lingering on this shot, and you're waiting for something to happen, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're thinking, okay, you start to kind of ease up because it hasn't happened yet, and then all of a sudden, bam, this spider is quickly running down their arm. Like I said, the stuff of my freaking nightmares. Something like that happening. And it's so quick that you don't really notice or care that it is a CG spider. And one of the other things I really loved was how they handled the spiders in this movie, because they used a lot of real spiders for this movie. And I think one of the brilliant things of this, and I know Sebastian Vanacek talked about it in talking with other directors and the influence he's had from other directors like Spielberg, you know, all you have to do is give the sense of these spiders. You show a few shots with real spiders, and then when you go to a CG shot of a spider, people already have that real spider in their mind. So while the CG shot may not be as good a looking a spider as the real spiders, people still have that real spider in their head. And it's almost a trick of the mind, a visual trick that was really effective. And even on the complete CG spiders, to me, the CG was really damn good. For being what I have to imagine is a lower budget film in France, and I know Sebastian Vanacek has talked about how, you know, you don't really get a lot of money from the government of France to produce movies. So I'm sure he was on a fairly tight budget. I don't know what the budget was like, but I know he talked about working with the visual effects guys. And like I said, they used a lot of real spiders, but they also studied those real spiders and studied the movements and the erraticness. You know, spiders don't walk in a straight line. They're all over the place. They're unpredictable. And they brought that to the CG spiders that really fucking worked. I mean, I tell you what, some of those just completely CG spider shots, were just as scary, if not more scary, because of the size of some of these spiders than the real spiders, because they did such a good job in creating some of the more realistic CG spiders that I've seen in a long time. And I was really immensely impressed with the CG work done in this on what I have to imagine was a pretty small budget. And I also really enjoyed this cast. You had Theo Christine as Caleb. He's kind of your main character. He's the one that brings this spider in, but he's kind of complicated because he has a strained relationship with his sister. He has a strained relationship with his old friend Jordy, and they're the ones that wanted to have the reptile shop when they were little kids, and they had a falling out. You have Jordy's girlfriend. You have Caleb's friend Mathis, and I loved how all of these characters, like, they weren't perfect characters. Like, Caleb wasn't the hero of this. Everybody had their heroic moments, especially the Mathis character. I really enjoyed his character and the sacrifice he made there at the end. The relationship between Caleb and his sister and the strain of their sibling relationship due to the fact that their mother had passed away, and Theo's trying to cling to the past while she's trying to move forward and kind of comes across as uncaring. There was just a lot of interesting play back and forth with that. And I liked it. It was a diverse cast. It really felt representative of what the suburbs of, I don't know if it's a town like Paris or wherever in France, but these quote unquote bad reputation neighborhoods. But, you know, all these characters are good people. Caleb's a good guy, always busting the balls of the younger kids in his apartment building that are up to mischief, and he's trying to keep them on the straight and narrow. They're all really good characters with interesting, complex relationships that you get in increments throughout the movie. I never really felt like you got any sort of exposition dumps in this. It really felt like you got to know these characters and their stories through the interactions of these characters, which to me is great writing. Now, it is hard, from an acting standpoint, to judge a performance, because I don't speak French. I took French in my senior year in high school, but I ended up getting kicked out of the class after like 2 weeks. So the extent of knowledge of French is Je m'appelle Chris, and that's about it. So it's really hard to judge performances because I can't, all I can match up is the way they're acting on the screen with the subtitles, and it's kind of hard to tell what they're saying and how they're saying it, which is a big part of a good acting performance. But I enjoyed these characters. I enjoyed, them on the screen. And, I thought good performances all around from all of these actors that I have no background in knowing any of their work, but I really enjoyed what I saw through this movie. I also enjoyed how this movie was shot. It was shot so interesting. You have a lot of the camera work with the people that's very chaotic and very handheld. And I know Sebastian Vanacek did a lot of the camera work himself. He wanted to get up close and personal with these actors. And you get a lot of the frantic nature of them, just trying to survive in this apartment building that's infested with all these poisonous killer, sometimes giant spiders. And then you get the shots with the spiders that are very controlled shots and very, very elegant and smooth, and just a fun juxtaposition between the filming of the people and the spiders was interesting. I love the fact that they filmed this in order, in chronological order. So the last shots are the last bits that they filmed. I thought that was a neat aspect of it. I also love the cinematography on this. Some of the shots were so beautiful. And there's one shot where it's kind of a doom and gloom montage. It almost felt like Titanic when the ship is going down and you get this montage of all these people and how they're meeting their fate. And you get a shot with this one guy kind of holding his son who's been bitten and killed. You get him holding him in his arms. You get this couple, and they're silhouetted against this window where the the blind is pulled and you just get this soft orange light behind them and you see the silhouettes of them kind of holding each other and then this spider kind of coming down on a web, not in between them, it's in the background against that window, but it's such a beautiful and haunting and creeping. It reminded me of the shot in Titanic where the old couple are laying in the bed and the water's rising up around them, and it was just such a heartbreaking and sad scene that, I didn't think I would be moved so much by a horror movie, but that little montage was quite moving. Some of the relationships between characters like Caleb and his sister, Caleb and, you know, his former friend Jordy, Caleb and Mathis, Caleb and Jordy's girlfriend, they all had some very meaningful scenes that were heartfelt and added a lot of heart to this story. But that was a beautiful, brilliant scene, that little montage of doom that they had. There is one scene where they're trying to make it to the basement, to the parking garage in the basement of this apartment building. And there's this hall that they have to go down. And you see their reaction that, oh shit, there's a bunch of spiders. And then the camera starts backing out. And then the camera starts rotating. And you see this hallway just full of webs and full of spiders crawling through these webs. And it just keeps backing out and backing out. And just feels like it's never ending. It feels like the camera crawl on that Star Destroyer at the beginning of Star Wars. It just feels like it is never going to end until you get to the end of this hall and you wonder how they're going to get through this impossible task. And the camera work on that was just absolute brilliance. And I know, listening to an interview with Sebastian Vanacek and reading some interviews, he wished that could have gone on longer. If he could have gone for like a whole minute of just backing down this hall, he would have, because he loved that shot so much. And rightfully so. It was a beautiful shot, but a horrific shot all the same. And the way this movie ended, I liked the way the movie ended. You have this big standoff because you have this place quarantined. Somebody gets bit early and they think, you know, they're saying that they think it's some infectious disease. So they quarantine the building and kind of keep everyone trapped inside. But you find out later, the police know that is this big infestation of these poisonous spiders that are growing to gargantuan sizes, and they've just done nothing about it. Essentially waiting till everybody gets killed off so they can come in and just knock the building down and kill these spiders. But you have this big showdown. You have that brilliant scene with the standoff between them and this car and this giant spider, and Caleb, his very, I don't want to say nurturing to nature state, but instead of just going to try to fight the spider, you know, he tells her, whoever's driving to turn the lights off, and then the spider scampers away. These spiders aren't evil. They're just spiders being spiders. And when he just lets the spider go, the spider just goes. And then he walks out into the sunlight. And there's a little bit of a scene at the end where he buries this postcard he had with him and his friend Jordy, who ended up being one of the characters dying. And you know, it's a postcard talking about how they were going to own a reptile store and just kind of an homage to that friendship that was lost that he never really got to make right. And then a spider shows up and he kind of blows it away. It was a nice ending. I was looking forward to a more nihilistic ending. I wanted like a Kingdom of the Spiders ending to this, where he walks outside and like the whole city has been infested and like the whole city's covered in cobwebs, kind of like that really bad matte painting at the end of William Shatner's Kingdom of the Spider, a creepy as fuck spider movie with all real spiders. And it's cheesy and it's, you know, 1970s filmmaking, but still creepy as fuck and scares the shit out of me every time. I was looking forward to an ending like that. I thought that would have been very apropos, but it's okay that they went with a happy ending. I'm fine with that. It did kind of leave things open to a possible sequel. I know Sebastian Vanacek has said that that's not really a thing that they do in France. You know, it's not about sequels like it is here in America. So he hasn't thought about that. I know he said that there's talk of doing an American version. And, you know, that can be good, that can be bad. You know, there's a lot of foreign films. Let the Right One In, when they did the American version, I didn't love it as much. I didn't even like it as much. I know there's the Austrian film Goodnight Mommy, a masterpiece. The American version wasn't so good. Even though it had really good actors, I just didn't like the script. I didn't like the story that they changed and kind of truncated. You've got that new movie, Speak No Evil, that is going to be coming out with James McAvoy, which looks really good, based on another foreign film that I believe you can watch on Shudder. I didn't care for the original movie. I'm hoping I like the American version more. Not that the original foreign film was bad. It just, I wanted to delve into a little more horror than it actually did. It was definitely more of a psychological horror. So I'm interested to see the American version of that. But this, I don't know. I mean, I think you get a bigger American CG budget, it could be even better, a better looking film. But I don't know how. I don't think it needs to be. I don't think it needs to be a slick American production. I really enjoyed this movie as is. Now, will I watch an American version of this? Certainly. And I wonder if Netflix is going to be producing this, because I know Netflix is listed in as a part of the production team on this, but it's not on Netflix. It's on Shudder, and Shudder and Netflix, I don't think they have any affiliation. So I wonder if Netflix has got the rights and that they're going to do the American version of Infested. And that's why they are a part of the production of this version of it. It'll be interesting to see how it works out. But all in all, for his first horror film, Sebastian Vanacek did a fantastic job with this. This movie had so many great scares and jump scares, but not jump scares because there's a quick jump cut and a loud sound effect. It was, you know, the action on the screen, you know, having that patience to not have anything happening, and then all of a sudden, bam, something happens, and you get that natural jump from the horror on the screen, not a manufactured startle from big loud sound effects or music scores or a jump cut. 1 minute the monster's not there, next minute the monster's there, that sort of cheap scares. This had legitimate scares because it built tension, it was paced really well, it had wonderful effects, both practical and digital. And it had characters you cared about. And it was an interesting set in an apartment building where you have a lot of places you can go. It feels claustrophobic. You know, they're trapped in here. The apartment building itself was really interesting visually. When they showed the establishing shots outside, it's almost like a big round disc, like sit on its side, like a frisbee standing upright. It was really interesting to look at visually and architecturally, and a fantastic location for a story like this. So now that we've seen what Sebastian Vanacek can do with a horror movie, and he's shown with this that he's got horror chops, this may be his first horror movie, this may be his first feature-length film, but the guy has chops when it comes to writing, when it comes to directing, even the camera work he did fantastic on. So what does he got next? Well, this movie, I mean, it hit the festivals in fall of last year and has been, I mean, it's had releases over in Europe all throughout this year. It wasn't released in the United States until April 19th. I believe it was released a limited run in theaters. And then, of course, the 26th, it released on Shudder. So, you know, people in the know have been watching this movie for months now, or have had a chance to see this movie months ago. And Sam Raimi, this caught the eye of Sam Raimi, and Sam Raimi and the other producers behind the Evil Dead franchise, they want to do a couple Evil Dead spinoffs. And one of the directors that they're planning to do an Evil Dead spinoff is Sebastian Vanacek. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to do, because apparently Sam Raimi has just said to him, you know, what do you want? What do you see an Evil Dead movie being like? And it looks like Sebastian Vanacek's going to have free rein to do what he wants to do with an Evil Dead movie. And I think that is that's really exciting to me. Just seeing what he did with this movie makes me excited for the horror that he can bring to the Evil Dead universe. And that to me is something to really look forward to. And I don't know, there's no timetables or anything like that. I know things are still kind of in the writing stage and the planning stage and the pre-production stage, but I'll be interested to see what we get as an end product and when we're going to start seeing things moving forward with that, because that to me is something I'm really excited about, is Sebastian Vanacek doing an Evil Dead movie. But until then, you can enjoy Infested. Definitely a movie. If you're, I know some people get scared away by subtitles. This is a French movie. It's all done in French, and you do have to watch it with subtitles. But Jesus, it is such a good movie that even if you only catch half the dialogue, which, you know, sometimes when you're trying to pay attention to the screen and you're trying to pay attention to subtitles, you lose one or the other. This is definitely a movie I want to watch again, having watched it the one time. And, you know, I just want to watch it again, maybe two or three more times, just to immerse myself in this and see if there's anything I missed, because there's just so much going on. Don't let subtitles scare you. Check out this movie. Probably one of the, I mean, Jesus, we've had an embarrassment of riches when it comes to really good horror movies as of late, where you've got stuff like Sting, you've got Arcadian, you've got another Shudder original with Late Night with the Devil. There's some other really good ones there, but I have to add Infested to the list of really good horror movies to come out in 2024, and I'm looking forward to a lot more from Sebastian Vanacek. So I want to thank everyone for listening to my thoughts on Infested. Check it out now on Shudder. You can also check out what's going on with Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We're always posting about horror, fantasy, and science fiction, as well as our latest episodes. Wherever you listen to this podcast, like, subscribe, follow it. That way you can stay on top of all the latest episodes, as well as leaving those reviews. 5 stars would be awesome. Whatever review you leave, we do appreciate that. And as always, please share this podcast with anyone you know that loves horror, fantasy, and science fiction. So until next time. Thank you for visiting Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. We hope that you found something to your liking and visit the shop again soon. But even though you may come back, you never really get to leave Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop.